Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Reptile Radio fans, and welcome to the March 24th, 2015 episode of the longest-running, herb-oriented show your ears have ever had the pleasure to feast upon. The auditory sensation for your borderless reptile nation. The one and only Double R Reptile Radio. This is your host, CK, and I'm so stoked to be with you all today for another juicy bite of the tasty reptilian tidbits you want to fill your plate up with. Just a little BLBC housekeeping, and we'll get right to the good stuff with our superhuman guest, the incredible Mr. Derek Roddy. But first, some of you already know this, as when I first heard, I went right to work on spreading the word. The Bush League Breeders Club has currently got some advertising spaces available, and our very own Larry Suttles asked me to help get the word out. So here I am, doing just that. Larry just put together some apparently attractive advertising packages that seem to be good news if you've got the herp space blues. So any of our listeners out there who want a win-win-win feeling of upping your exposure and supporting the boards while enjoying a sweet deal in the process, feel free to find Larry or myself on the BLBC boards for full package pricing information. Pricing and information. I'm sorry about that. I don't believe these new packages are available on the BLBC advertising link, so just hit Larry or I, and we'll be sure to get that information right back out to you. Thanks in advance for supporting our home, the Bush League Breeders Club. Today's guest has made a name for himself by following the sage advice of Mr. Todd Rundgren, who in 1983 recommended the best alternative to working was to bang on the drum all day. Here we are today, and it's hard to believe that for 32 years, most of us chose to ignore that great advice. But not Mr. Roddy, who certainly makes Mr. Rundgren proud by living the dream. So let's get our guest on now for his next revisit to the reptile radio waves. From drum skins to snake skins, Derek has always managed to stay on top. Here he is, the man who even found a way to make the phrase blackheads sound sexy, longtime friend of the Double R, world-class rock and roll drummer, and consummate fan favorite, Mr. Derek Roddy. Hey, D, welcome back to the show.
CK, my man. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Gosh, I don't know if I can live up to that intro.
Oh, come on, man. You're the reason the intro's there.
Yeah, that's so funny. Thanks, man. It's awesome being
back.
Hey,
no worries. I'm glad you like it. So now, you've been a busy guy, and you always are a busy guy. What's going on over there?
I'm in the middle of egg-laying season.
Wow.
Yeah, I spoke with you the other day. I was supposed to plan a trip. I'm going out of town to see some family members, and came over to the room and had a couple blackheads laying kind of unexpectedly.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
More eggs, it's more.
Oh, that's cool, man. It's more of a shock to me that they were unexpected from you because, I mean, you're so about that.
Well, they were sort of expected, but they were due earlier. I had one girl wait to 34 days, which is normally, you know, 28 to 29 for me.
Okay.
And then the other girl went early. She went 23 days. So I thought that I had the time, you know what I mean? And this goes to show you that, you know, these animals, you can't, no matter, you know, how much you think you have it down and how consistent you think your season is, there's always something that, you know, something to learn from these guys. So, yeah, kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, look, it's no question you live up to that intro. You do have the best collection in the country, and I mean, you see this happen every year, and you get so used to it. But yeah, it's cool to know that even you get surprised once in a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. They're animals. I mean, I had a Woma this year that I was completely a month off on. I never did see a prelay shed. She must have eaten it. And I've actually found some of my snakes this last couple years, actually, just being around the animals more. I've caught a couple of my blackheads and one of my womas eating their shed skin before.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got pictures of it, actually. I should post it over there on the BLBC for you guys to see. But it's interesting because, like, I don't know if she actually did shed and she ate it. If she just never went through a prelay, because I did have a blackhead one time that never went through a prelay. I could tell just by the way she looked. Now, this woman was in shed, but I never cleaned it up. And I asked my wife, and she didn't clean it up. So
that's so weird.
So,
yeah,
weird.
You know,
you never, you can't, you don't know what these animals are going to do. You know, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, a lot of our listeners also keep the four-legged stuff, and I know lots of lizards eat their shed, and I'm pretty sure salamanders eat their shed. There's other amphibians that probably eat their shed, but you know, it's relatively unheard of because I guess it's just not something you know continuously observed in a nocturnal species, you know. So,
well, maybe that the fact that you know it might be a last-ditch effort. You know, for some other type of need nutritionally, and maybe just because we're, you know, these animals are really overfed in captivity might be the reason we don't see it as much, you know.
You know, that's a great point. And I know you're a big advocate of not overfeeding and keeping them lean and mean. And that really does make a lot of sense. And, you know, you would think that a girl that's about to lay is going to look for every calorie she can find at that point, you know.
Yeah.
Especially something that doesn't really, you know, clog up her her alimentary canal the way, you know, a rodent would. You know, like
the skin
is just going to float through there without really giving the eggs grief coming out. That sounds like a pretty good hypothesis, sir.
Who knows what they get out of it? I mean, could there even be any type of nutritional value in that crap? I mean,
I don't know. But, I mean, your body uses keratin. It uses the keratin to make scales, and I would imagine that the outer skin is going to have keratin in it, so, you know,
maybe to make the egg, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? That's a good question for any of the scientists out there. You guys, I mean, we got so many biologists and you know, guys that listen to this show are really, you know, science heads that I'd love to hear a little take on that. And actually, you know, a lot of maybe some of the lizard breeders have already, you know, analyzed that data. Maybe somebody actually knows.
Maybe so. Be interesting to know.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that, man. And it's the first time I heard that those guys eat their sheds. And you would think maybe just because they're ophidiophagous, you know, would that be probably the impetus for that?
Maybe. You know, who knows? I mean, you know, the only thing I can really say, and I say this all the time because people, you know, they'll come to me with advice with their blackheads or whatever. And the only thing I can really say is like, man, you know, I only have experience with the animals that I keep in a box in my room here in my place in Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what I notice or what I see or what happens here in my room may not necessarily happen or work for, you know, anybody else that's out there, you know. So it's one of those things that's like, you know, how much time are you around to notice this type of thing? You know, because a lot of guys just have a collection and they come in after work and they clean and, you know, maybe they don't get back in until the next day after work clean again. You know, they might miss a lot of stuff, you know.
Sure.
I have the luxury of being here most of the day, whether it's, you know, in the studio doing music-related stuff or just in here cleaning or whatever I'm doing, you know, so I get to see a lot of behavioral things that I think a lot of people might miss, you know, just because I'm here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, look, you know, there's been times when I've been between jobs or something that I definitely see things that, you know, I hadn't seen before, you know, just crazy stuff,
right.
Crazy stuff
yeah.
that, you know, you really can't believe. And if you didn't see it, you wouldn't have believed it.
And they're blackheads, man, specifically. Blackheads if I hadn't seen it, I would never believe it.
Yeah.
If I didn't know, like, with, you know, what I know about my own collection, like, you know, for instance, you know, known females that lay eggs, when I see them trying to breed other animals, mm-hmm. you know, that makes you go, what's going on there, you know? And it's something that you see a lot, but, you know, it makes you wonder, like, what are these animals thinking? You know, like, what am I observing here? You know, I know that animal's laid eggs. I've hatched animals from her.
Yeah.
Why is she acting like a male? So, you know, it's just things that happen in the collection that you normally wouldn't, you know, recognize otherwise unless you were there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to observe. You know, that's been a pretty consistent theme to my, you know, to my show, is that, I always encourage the listeners to watch your animals. You know, some people are so concerned with, oh, let me go get another one. Oh, you know, all that's great to satisfy that urge, but spend some time with the ones you have and see what you can garner from them and what they can teach you, because, you know, people think these are dumb animals, and those are the people that I honestly believe have no clue. You know, you watch them long enough, and they look at you like you're looking at them, and they there's something cooking between those ears, man. I mean, they're holes that are ears that are under their skin. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's true, yeah. Man. They're definitely intelligent creatures, and
they adapt very readily too. I mean, you know, more so than like a lot of other species in the wild, you know. And it's funny because I have friends all the time that tell me, you know, like local friends here and people that work with all types of animals here in Florida and in the Southeast or whatever. And I've had probably 15 different keepers tell me, man, best snake you can have is a water moccasin. You know what I mean? And I was like, I've always wondered, like, and I've heard a lot of people say that. And then, like, sure enough, I'll go over to a buddy's place and he works over here, Billy Swamp Safari or whatever. He's got a moccasin that's like, I mean, he trusts the thing more than he does any other snake he's ever had.
You know,
he just charged rodent right from his hand, like frozen rodent. I mean, he brought it in within a week in captivity. It was like chilling with him on the couch watching TV. Like, you know, those moccasins, they're not inclined to bite. They have a threat display, so they don't have to bite. You know what I mean?
And really?
Like, stuff like that. And then people, you know, I got all these guys that are experienced snake people, and they're like, man, I've been keeping snakes for 50 years. Best animal you could have is a moccasin.
That is so cool to hear, man. You know, I love little anecdotes like that. And, you know, it's true. Like, you know, you look at hognose, and I recently somebody sent me a picture of someone had gotten bit by a hognose, which is such a rare occurrence also.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And again, it's the giant, tremendous threat display and then the feigning death and all the theatrics that those guys do. But when they have to use their back teeth, they use them, you know. And apparently somebody got tagged. And it did a lot of localized damage, you know?
Yeah, I saw that, actually. There's been a couple of different ones I've seen, but I saw somebody got nailed in the thumb, and it was, you know, a pretty good-sized, decent bite, you know, that's something you wouldn't expect from a hoggy, you know?
No. So, but, you know, I mean, I hope that, you know, that eventuality doesn't really hurt anybody that's keeping these moccasins because they're getting too comfortable with them. You know, complacency will kill you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I have a buddy that's, you know, had some bites by all types of stuff, and he doesn't keep any venomous stuff anymore. And, well, he does. The only thing he keeps is, you know, the pit vipers and stuff. So his ongoing joke is, you know, the cobras and taipans and all that stuff, nah, I'm okay with that. I only keep that. Just rattlesnakes and moccasins.
Okay.
You know, that stuff, like, necessarily not going to kill you. You know, you take a cobra bite, and unless you get somewhere quick, you know, you might die. You know,
yeah,
moccasin,
yeah,
you'll have a bad weekend, you know. You might lose some mobility in a thumb or something, but they can be bad. But, you know, like I said, I'm not advocating people going out and having moccasins. It's just funny what people who – the point of this was it's funny what people notice when they allow themselves to open up to – different species and just different ways of thinking about what they're keeping.
Yes.
Know?
Yes, and throw away
learn things.
You know, yeah, learn something yourself instead of just reading stuff that other people write and you know, expecting that it's always going to go that way. Learn it for yourself. And, of course, these things are individuals, as you already said.
Yeah.
Every one of them is different. They all react different.
And, you know, it's funny. I already came up with kind of like a joke for the show here because, you know, you originally had contacted me about maybe doing a Brazilian rainbow show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't kept rainbows in a long, long time. I mean, it's been like since 91, 92, and I had a couple of gravid females coming imported that dropped. You know, it's like I don't even know how long from a post-ovulation shed to when they drop. I have no idea. You know what I mean? So, again, it's like for me, it's all about the observation. You know, and I think I've observed enough snakes over time to kind of figure it out, you know.
Sure.
But, and who would have thought, you know, with the collection of blackheads, you know, with almost 100 animals here, you know, rainbow boas, really? You know,
yeah, they're so polar opposite.
Well, to me, it's just all about a good-looking snake. And come on, man, you cannot deny that a good-looking rainbow boa is, I mean, hands down, one of the top five most beautiful snakes in the world. I mean, it's just, you know, the fact that they're an, quote, inexpensive animal is irrelevant when you see something that catches your eye in such a way that makes you go, wow, I just got to have that animal. You know, I don't care if it's $25 or $5,000, I got to have it, you know.
Oh, I totally understand that. And that's kind of like, you know, the show description kind of, you know, you're kind of leading into that. I mean, it's an animal, it's kind of pedestrian now in the hobby. It wasn't back in the 90s. I mean, I had Colombian rainbows in the 80s. And,
yeah.
And you know, that was like the poor man's rainbow boa, you know, back in the day. And, And they're still stunning. And if they're sitting in the sunlight, boy, they're so iridescent and amazing. But compared to a Brazilian rainbow, there's no competition. So,
right.
You have the means to have anything you want, but still you went to something that's relatively inexpensive, and for the pop that you get, for the aesthetic pop that you get from that animal. When people
right.
see that animal in your collection, they're like, wow, especially people who are non-snake people. Man, that's
right.
a really impressive animal. And, I'm talking about the animals that you have, even though most of them are also, they're all very nice. But the animals that you posted on the boards, and for those of you guys out there that haven't seen, Derek had recently posted some animals in the boa section, the
yep.
non-boa constrictor boa section. And my goodness, what phenomenal examples. So, wow. So basically, you saw those animals, and they ramped you up to get back into the boas.
Kinda, yeah. It's rainbow boas I've always wanted, and I kept telling Hallie, we need to get something that's inexpensive if we ever decide to, branch out a little bit into some other species. We need to get something that, we could hook people's friends, kids up with. It's not going to be a big hit to our pocket, because giving away, $1,500, $2,000 black bands is, it's not feasible,
yeah.
But when you have friends that have children that are into stuff, I love giving snakes to kids and getting young people, involved with stuff. I mean, I've given away more snakes to kids doing that than I probably ever have sold,
God
I mean?
Bless.
And it's just to try to get people, into it for the right reasons, because, like me, when I was a kid, I was a snaker. I was a snaker from the moment I recognized what I was looking at and I could pick up and put in a shoebox and hide under my bed until my mom and dad found out about it. And you know what? I don't even know why I did that, because they were pro animals. I mean, my dad, and we've talked about this on the show a number of times, but, my dad had everything from ducks to flying squirrels to bobcats, owls. I mean, everything. You think of it, he's rehabilitated it and had it in the house. So I grew up with all of that stuff, so I didn't even need to hide stuff,
yeah.
Certain degree. So, I've always had some type of animal around me, and it's just the love of just, the different species and how animals, just different animals interreact. It's like I learned, I focused on the blackheads for the last 10 years, and the bulk of my collection has been the blackheads, and, I love them like no other species. Just for me, I think they're just the ultimate python as far as what I like in an animal and their personalities and everything. But after a while, you're like, what else can I put an cage in here to look at? I've seen the black, I'm creating some blackheads really that nobody's ever seen between myself and Tom and a couple other breeders here, and we're doing pretty good with them. And okay, so what's next, And really, we're kind of at the end of the chain, So you really have no choice but to kind of go back to stuff that maybe you had 20 years ago. And it's kind of like what I've been doing. Same thing with the Dumerals boa. I always have loved Dumerals boas, and I just didn't want to have a pair of Dumerals boas. So it always kept me from, finding that prime example of the species. It kind of keeps me out of stuff, and that's kind of like a rule that I set for myself. If I can't find something that absolutely blows me away, then why bring it into the collection?
Sure.
Why just get a pair of rainbow boas to breed them and put more rainbow boas on the market? That really doesn't make sense, because there are a lot of rainbow boas on the market. You go to Kingsnake, there's an entire page up dedicated to rainbow. I don't need to breed any more rainbow boas to put on the market, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But when I found this nice female, it came from a friend of mine here locally, and I happened to get a good deal on a really nice male that came with a proven breeder from another friend of mine that I did trade on some cool carpets with. It just kind of fell into place, and I was like, wow, I got a really nice pair of rainbow boas. Cool. Man, these things are really nice. Awesome. I hope they do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've been, and in the meantime, I went out and bought probably another 15 rainbows.
Oh, my God.
A lot of them babies, just stuff to raise up, just to see how they turn out from specific bloodlines and different things, you know what I mean? But I will say, if you are looking for rainbow boas, man, Dave Cooley at Rainbows R Us out in San Jose,
uh-huh.
As far as Brazilian rainbows are concerned, man, I wouldn't even really even bother looking around anywhere else if you're looking to purchase some. I mean, the work that he's done with them, unbelievable. He's absolutely
really?
Unbelievable. I mean, you can spend 3 hours on his website just looking at animals. He's got every single animal that he has in his collection. I think it's about 140 rainbow boas or something like that.
Wow.
And he's got day and night pictures of them because they look different in day than they do at night. And, you know, and that's something I didn't realize. You ever seen pictures of, you know, like rainbow boas have these really white sides and they're really, you know, bright red on top, but they're white, you know, they're almost paper white on the sides.
Yeah.
I always thought was a phase, you know, that, oh, I'm going to go buy that phase. And I kept wondering, why don't you ever see these? Well, they do that at night, you know,
really?
And it's like, I'm sure everybody that keeps rainbow boas knows that or whatever, but I was like, I had never really seen it before. And, not, you know, not all of them do it, but a lot of them do it. I'd call it wearing their pajamas because a lot of them turn completely white. I mean, bone paper white, almost all the way up to, you know, half side of the body, you know.
Really?
And I've come in and seen some of mine like that and just been like, oh, my God, look at that animal, Jesus. You know,
I finally got one.
Yeah, and I, you know, had no idea, you know, that they just kind of
so
do that
cool.
from a day-to-night
Man.
Basis, you know.
You know, people, like you said, people don't, you got to watch your animals around the clock to see those nuances. And I remember way back, Matt Lara said on a show, now Matt's got that GHI ball python thing. And he said, I don't remember if he said it on the show or if he told me off air on a call, because I had him on a couple of years back. And he was saying that he noticed something about his GHI girls, like the big girls, I guess when they're in breeding phase or whatever, that their sides get silver. During certain times of their cycle. I'm like, wow, that's really cool, man. You know, it's something that you really got to watch your animals to notice. Because, I mean, if you got, you know, you got 100 slots with, you know, 100 animals in there, boy, you really can't pay, you know, round-the-clock attention to everything. But, you know, there are opportunities come up, and if you don't have the eye for it, you really wouldn't notice it. But I have this African project girl that I have here. And, man, she does the same thing. She just gets these silvery kind of, like, it's almost like it's between the scales and the outer skin. It's like a haze, you know? Crazy stuff. But if you don't watch them, you ain't going to know that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you got a lot of animals, you got to be, you know, looking at them because you got to be cleaning a lot, you know? But that's one kind of reason I'm kind of anti-rack. I mean, I have racks just for animals because of space or whatever, but ultimately, I mean, I'd love to have everything in a 4-foot cage, you know, that I could see, because it's just something about, you know, why do I have these animals? You know, if I have them so I can enjoy them and look at them, and I can't really do that if they're all sitting in tubs, and, you know, it's just for me personally, because again, I'm a snaker, you know, I'm a snake guy at heart. I like, you know, it's something other than the production and the dollar sign and everything that, you know, that goes with it. I mean, yeah, like people could just, you know, easily look at me and say, what are you talking about? You know, you breed expensive snakes or whatever. But again, it's not really, you know, about that for me. It's just, you know, going back to, you know, you can buy a Doomrolls boa anywhere for $50 on a table at any show in America. You know, it's not
pretty
like, well, I'm going to breed Doomrolls and make money, you know?
right.
You know? I'm going to breed Doomrolls and pick out what I like so I can enjoy them and give the rest away, most likely. <You know? laughs>
And your Doomrolls boa is a stunner, man. I know I posted in that thread because I saw that animal. Wow.
And it's the best looking in the country, no doubt. I mean, the best looking one I've ever seen, period. I have never seen another one like it.
I believe that, and I feel the same way. I mean, it was really, it's a stunner, guys. If you, again, once again, head over to the BLBC boards, look for one of Derek's threads, and check out that animal. It's just, it's beastly beautiful. It's so stunning. I hope you find a worthy mate for that thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, another plug for a boa guy, Paul Messifel, up in Illinois. He's got probably the largest collection of Doomrolls in the country. He's working with all types of cool stuff over there, like really neat, the black and white ones, and I mean, if you know what a Doomrolls look like, imagine a black and silver one.
Wow.
Black, white,
Doomrolls. So that's like, it'd be like an Annery kind of.
Yeah, like an Avanthid kind of thing. He hasn't proved it out yet, but I have a feeling. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at it, you can go, yeah. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
But whatever with that, I mean, we'll touch on the morph thing in just a minute, you know, because this is kind of a funny story that relates to this Doomrolls boa that I got. But anyway, Paul is the guy for Doomrolls boas here in America, I think, and he was nice enough to send me down two females from a line of animals that both of us kind of maybe think, you know, maybe some share some blood, because you just don't see animals like this. You know what I mean? And he has a couple of animals that came from a guy named Tom Pinson down here, who passed away several years ago. He used to breed hognose snakes, but he had some Dumas boas that he bought from just a random guy here in Florida at a show, raised them up and produced some babies, and they're really nice, high pink, you know, really beautiful animals. And then other people have gone and started kind of their own lines from those animals, we kind of think, because, you know, nobody cares about Dumas boas. Nobody even documents anything because there's no morphs. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So nobody even bothers, you know. So now I got this animal that showed up on a local, you know, Facebook group for sale, $200, this Dumas that I bought. I was actually on my way to New York. I saw it in the airport. I texted the girl and said, I want that animal. I'll PayPal you for a $50 deposit. Told her I was on a flight. As soon as I got there, I arranged to get it picked up and everything, because I knew I got to have that animal, just like we were talking about before. There's no doubt I got to get, you know, whether I can find a mate for it. I bought it as a female. Turned out being to be a male, which I'm actually thankful that it was now. But yeah, I put that thing up online, and within 15 minutes, I had quadrupled my money. I was getting offers, like insane offers for this thing.
Jeez.
So that's when I knew, okay, I got the right animal. So anyway, Paul sent me a couple of nice young girls. They're a little bit young. I don't know if they're going to do anything this year. One girl, he's been chasing around the cage like relentlessly, but I haven't seen him do anything. So, but she's very pretty as well. Very similar looking to him. She's just not quite as that flame orange kind of color. She's not quite that vibrant, but she's close.
Yeah.
It'll be definitely the nicest pairing of Dumas, you know, done in this country for in a long time, I can tell you that. Because back 20 years ago, there used to be stuff that looked like this. I remember Randy McKnight, when I was kind of growing up and cleaning all of his cages in his room in South Carolina and stuff in the late 80s, he had some really pretty Dumas boas. Really, really peak and pink, and you just don't see that stuff anymore because nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, no morphs, so nobody gives a shit, you know, and it's like, really?
Yeah, but that really bothers me. I mean, if you're keeping the animals because you love them, whoa, why not? You know, look, it takes the same amount of time to feed that animal as it does to feed that animal, you know?
Right.
So if you're breeding
them. And
the funny
thing, this goes back to that story I was going to say to you real quick before I forget, because, okay, when I did post an animal online, 95% of the post was asking what morph it was. and honestly, it pissed me off. It got me to the point where it was like, really, you know what? Go screw yourself. What difference does it make if it's a morph? Who cares? Look at this animal. I mean, I don't know if it's a morph. I just got it. You know, you're asking me if it's hypo this, if it's whatever that. And it's like, who cares?
Yeah, just appreciate it.
People are already thinking, like, oh, I'm going to, if I had that animal, I'd read it this, and I could retire next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that whole fucking stupid mentality of people that just, it just irks me to no end. You know what I mean? It's like, who cares if it's a morph? Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Well, we go light on the F bombs on the show, Derek. Just think, I don't know if I need to remind
you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But still, it's like, it grinds my gears, man. You know, it's like that section in Peter Griffin's thing, you know, Family Guy. You know, you want to grind my gears? People that don't care about the animal and all they care about is actual morphs and, you know, whatever they perceive that they're gonna do with said morph. You know, it's like, you know, otherwise would have never even entertained the thought of having a Dumas boa. You know.
Yeah.
And probably still wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
You know, to hear your passion, obviously, you know, that you definitely had some passion in that last little exchange. To hear your passion about it, one, it speaks to the fact that you're passionate about the animals. Two, it's just, it says that it kind of irritates you that other people who are keeping them don't have the passion. And I understand that. It's like, why are you doing this? Get a part-time job if you want to make some extra bucks. You ain't got to, you know, don't do this
right.
To put garbage on the market, you know?
Right. Well, it's not even, I mean, you know, it's not even the fact that there's garbage. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of undesirable animals that are out there, you know? But I think the majority of it for me stems from the fact that I can't even go to a reptile show and enjoy myself anymore because I see three species. That's it.
Yeah.
Three species. All pythons, leopard geckos, and bearded dragons, maybe. And maybe some colubrids spread, sprinkled in. And I don't even do the shows anymore. Why?
Yeah.
Why would
right.
I go and support a show when every single breeder's got the same animal on the tables? You know, that's what makes me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
There's a lot of, I don't know. It's just like there. It should be like a separate show. You know what I mean? Like somebody should come up with this idea that we're okay. There's going to be a this species show. You know, like it's going to be
right.
nothing but this, and then there's going to be a multi species show. You know?
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this. Back in the probably it was like the 90s was the last time I saw this. They used to jury the show process. So that, you know, they wouldn't have 10 guys with this, 10 guys with that, 10 guys with this. I mean, you know, they actually juried the shows where you had to, you know, the vendor had to tell the exhibitor what he was bringing, or the promoter, what he was bringing. And if there was already, you know, too many guys bringing that stuff, they cut back on that so that there would be more variety at the shows. That hasn't happened in a long time. Like every other thing that starts out,
I don't think
you know,
tell people what they can and can't sell. I get that. I mean, but maybe set up another show for people that want to go look at ball pythons and leopard geckos and all the common stuff that you can see in every pet store everywhere anyway. You
right.
know, okay, have that show. Let those people go and do that show. And then let the snake people like myself who want to see all types of varieties of water snakes and garters and rough greens and... You know, because I keep this stuff myself. I've got native king snakes. I've got native mm-hmm. corn snakes. My, you know, Hallie and I, we breed this stuff and let it go just because we simply do not see it in the wild hardly enough around here. So we capture local animals and we breed them and we let them go. And, or we, you know, do something with children with them or give them away or give them pets or give them a home or whatever. You know, it's like that's a different type of mentality, I think, you know, than, you know, the people that they're just focusing on, you know, like the dollar signs of it or whatever, you know, whatever they happen to be into with as far as the animals are concerned, you know.
Yeah.
I just think it's maybe two different types of people and maybe they just need to have two different types of shows. Because I would support a show that I could go to and know that I was going to see multi-species.
Right. I understand that, Derek, but I also know that, look, you're not the average show. You got always got to accept that, you know, and for the average shows, like, you
there's
know,
far
somebody
less
who...
There's far less of us, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The truth is, like the average guy that's got limited space, maybe his wife lets him have a closet in the den, you know, to keep his rack in or something. You know, he's gotta make something back. He's gonna produce something that he can afford to purchase in the first place, and he's gonna, you know, I mean, I defend that guy in this particular case because that's how he gets to enjoy anything. You know, so like
yeah,
I can't,
yeah.
I won't take that away from that guy. But yeah, don't.
I don't want people to. I don't want to tell people what they can and can't sell at shows. I want that guy to have to exist in the hobby as well.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I definitely want that. But the problem is that's 95% of what exists in the hobby.
Right.
You know,
or that's 95% of what's displaying at the shows. I think there are definitely.
Yeah.
You know, look, there's guys like that do this stuff that because of the web. If you're breeding a niche animal, because of the web, to sell those animals, you don't ever have to go to a show. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I know Jeff Benfer on our boards. Jeff is he's one of top two or three guys in the country that breed garter snakes, and he's got morsel garters that make you cry. They're so beautiful. I mean, stunning.
I know. Killer.
Right. I mean, you've seen the pictures of his stuff. Killer stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, real jewels in the business. And it's like, oh, my God, but he doesn't need to go to a show.
See, there's a perfect example of somebody who's taken a species and done the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's
yeah.
what we need more of. We need more guys like that, not guys that are just going to go buy whatever's the next hot, you know, thing that's going to last until something. Then you got all the undercutters, and then you got all the arguing and the bickering because people's feelings get hurt. You know, a lot of this stuff would go away if people just kept what they liked instead of what, you know, what they think they should, you know, what's going to benefit them. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying, but you know what? Like, I like ball pythons because when my son wanted a piebald when he was a little baby, he was literally five, right, and he wanted a piebald. I mean, what was I going to do, tell my kid not to get one? No, I love the idea that it was a ball python, first of all, because they're easy to handle. The kids aren't going to get tagged left and right. I mean, stuff like that really can sour somebody who's a novice. They don't want to consistently get bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It gets tired after a while. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a great starter species. And because of the morse, like, I'm contrary to what you said there, because of the Morse, I see variety. Like, we just look at that different. I see variety because
I got endless possibilities.
Variety.
I get that, but, I understand that. I understand the art part of it. And like I said, I'm not saying that these people, that you or anybody shouldn't be allowed to do and keep what you want. I'm not saying that at all. I like ball pythons.
Right.
Some of them are very pretty. But I can take probably 15 different morphs that I know of, and they all look kind of the same to me. You know, so, I mean, I understand that everybody's working on different stuff, and you kind of get the same results sometimes out of mixed genes, because sometimes those genes are shared, and, you know, some guy might call it this, and some guy might call it that, and it might actually turn out to be sort of the same thing, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
You end up with animals that kind of look alike, even though they're named different. I get all of that, you know. I understand that. I just, from a person who wants, you know, more out of the hobby, it just sucks, because I can't even go to a reptile show and see, you know, something that's going to be like, oh, wow, piqued my interest. Oh, wow, let me see this whole thing. You know, I mean, very rarely. Very rarely.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Well, you know
rare.
What? I heard that this prior weekend was the March Tinley show, and I heard that there was really a lot of variety, and everybody was really everybody's really spouting about how it's really nice that that's coming back. And I love
that.
I
think there's more people coming to it, because I think people are tired of it. I mean, the biggest number one complaint that I hear, I mean, and Florida's the state for reptile stuff. You know what
sure.
I mean? It just is. It, you know, I mean, it's, you know, we have more shows going on down here, more reptile people down here probably in every other state combined, you know, with the exception of California, maybe, you know, or Arizona.
Yeah.
But, you know, so for a population of hurt people that have the ability to literally go to a snake show almost every weekend,
mm-hmm.
you can see how it gets tiring.
Yeah. No, it's definitely way different than, like, if you're fortunate enough to live a couple hours away from a quarterly show. I mean, I look at things different in that regard. But I defend both sides because, I kept plenty of species growing up. I kept all different kinds of stuff. I mean, back in the day, you weren't keeping stuff to breed it. You kept stuff to look at it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
and to handle it. Yeah.
Yeah, to handle it.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
So I get that, I'm not defending or defending anybody. It's just, you know, I'm just, you know, what I would like to personally see more of, and what I constantly hear more and more is people would like to see more multi-species stuff. And I think that's why we're starting to see people branch out a little more, starting to get into a little more things. Like, because, I mean, if you think about it, let's take something like a spotted python, for example. Nobody gives a shit about a spotted python. Sorry, excuse my French. nobody cares. You know what I mean? There's a small little group of maybe 50 people in the country, if that, you know what I mean, that are
it
like...
It seems that
are,
way. It does
right?
seem like 50 people. I mean, who even knows what an Antarctica is? I mean, they don't even know what the genus is.
right, you know. All right, so a few years back, you know, I picked up a pair because I saw a pair that piqued my interest. It's like, wow, that's a really pretty pair of nice Cape Yorks. I want those. I want to work with those.
Okay.
So started working with them a little bit. First year I produced out of them, I produced an anomaly. It was basically a jag version of a spotted python.
Yeah.
You know? It even had a little bit of
that.
Yeah, I posted it back then. Thus far, none of them have lived. But what has lived have been, you know, the siblings to those animals that are displaying some very unique traits, you know. So, you know, who knows? In 5 or 6 generations, you know, what am I going to create out of this, you know, this trio of spotted pythons that I started with? You know, what type of color patterns are you going to see? Because already, just in the siblings that I've done out of the 3 breedings that I've done with them, I've got like 4 different types of animals I could work with. I've got some that are very, very bold and black. I've got some that are very blonde and almost have hardly any pattern on them. I got some that are banded, some that are spotted. You know, okay, so take those animals and breed them and work with them. And okay, let's create a banded spotted python.
Yeah.
It'd be done.
If anybody's in the position to refine something, I know you got the eye for that, and you also have the ability to do that, and that's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
I love that.
Great. I am thankful of that, because a lot of people do not have that time or investment to be able to do stuff like that. That I understand. I get
yes.
it. You know, I understand that. You know, it's just I'm all about the you know, having some stuff, because honestly, if I go with you, I don't do shows. I've never done a reptile show. In fact, well, the only reptile show I've done in 20 years has been the Myrtle Beach show, the first year that Jay did it, just because my family's there. I kind of wanted my mom and dad to see what I was doing with the shows and whatnot. Just help Jay out. Fun time. Go do it. Hometown. Cool.
Yeah.
Only show I've ever, you know. But I started thinking about it. I was like, if we were to go do a show, what, I'm going to have nothing but blackheads on the table? Nothing but $1,000 snake shit? I said, why even go?
You know you're not going to sell anything.
So people can look at something different, you know? I mean, okay, so yeah, that might be a reason to go, so people can look at something different. But if I'm going to do that, you know, because a lot of people down here at these local shows have never seen a blackhead in real life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe if you go to Daytona or something, Tom's got them up there, you know, you'll see them. There's a few guys, Matt Jablowski, he's got some, you know. There's not a lot of people that have them. So to do a local show for somebody to be able to see a blackhead is a cool thing. But
sure.
As you and I both know, there's all types of pros and cons to doing shows, you know, mites, parasites, you know, illness, you know, just the pain in the ass of being the sun, the Florida sun and all that, you know. It's a lot of risk. But I started telling Hallie, like, well, if we're ever going to do that, we need to have more than just this. You know, we got to have variety. And I started looking at just around the area what I knew that people didn't have, you know. People in the area don't have rainbow boas. Tom Davis used to have them years ago, but he got out of them probably like 10 years ago. He used to have all the hypos and stuff back then. And then I'm sure you know who Joe Terry is. Joe Terry's got dual boas, but he hadn't bred them. And I just spoke to him a couple weeks ago. He said he hadn't bred them in probably 7 or 9 years.
Wow.
They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
So,
well, because it's a lot of work for nothing, for no money.
Right.
He's keeping them and enjoying them, and he's not flooding the market with stuff that nobody really buys. So that makes sense.
You know, he's keeping them. He's got them. You know, it's not like he moved them out or anything. You know, he still got them, and I kind of respect that because he's a big ball python guy. I mean, he's got all types of ball pythons, Joe Terry, you know, but he's also got a pair of blackheads and, you know, the dumals and a couple other things, some boas, and, you know, he's kind of like an old school keeper in that way, you know, where he's just, yeah, he does that, but he still keeps the stuff he likes, and I guess we're in a good position to be able to do so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's part of the key. And you know, look, it's if you don't have a good amount of space, it's hard to keep a bunch of different species. The reason bulls and leopards and all those things are, you know, they're easy to keep quantities of, so you can create all these little combos and stuff without taking up a lot of space. So, and that plays into a lot of people's life, you know. So
yeah, well, I get it. Like I said, I get it. I'm not telling people they shouldn't do it, you know.
Yeah, I would want everybody to just have an annul, you know, just have, keep a reptile and like connect with that, something that's so polar different from what mammals are, you know, something that's really not us, you know, and I think it just helps people understand the rest of what life has to offer and what the world is out there. It's really just one of those things. I love that that's your... That's kind of the impetus for a lot of stuff you do, Derek. I mean, I've always respected your collection. You got phenomenal animals, but every time I talk to you, I respect the guy more and more and more every time, because you just really you stick by your principles and you're adamant and obviously very passionate about the way you do.
Well, hey, look, I mean, and there's a lot of, just to point out my own hypocrisy, though, you know, and I mean, thanks for that, you know, compliment, but. Let's be honest about it. Had that nice dumal boa hadn't come up, would I have them right now?
Probably
I mean,
not.
Yeah, I've always had them in the back of my mind. Like, I'd like to have some really nice dumals, but I just, nothing ever, you know, ding, 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 ding. You know what I mean?
Right.
That never happened.
Right, but you know what?
It has happened to me with rainbow boas several times. I just haven't been able to make the connection to make it happen because it was either something that somebody wasn't selling or... Dang, I want that animal. You know, so sorry, but for sale. Oh, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to pry the nice ones out of your hands. I know that for a fact. We got 2 minutes, Derek. Believe it or not, we're almost at the end. Man, but you know, But let's see what you're doing with that Doomerals. Is you're going to create the Doomerals that's going to get somebody else interested in Doomerals.
Right.
You know. So like you're. It's not hypocrisy. You're actually propagating your own sensibility, and it's a good sensibility. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but everybody would want that marquee animal, you know, and if you're going to be making them, they'll be available. So,
right, exactly, and that's just, somebody's got to do it, somebody's got to pick it up, and I'm sure somebody would have, you know, but...
Oh, yeah, from the sound of it. Look, it's funny that people were offering you money for something that they couldn't pry out of your hands if you were on your deathbed. Because I know how you are. I mean, you know, you're not going to sell it just because somebody's offering you 4 times the price. You're going to want to keep that animal.
That's what made me say, man, I'm going to keep this thing. Because, you know, if people are coming out of the woodworks offering 4 times more than what I pay for it, you know, I better keep it. So
that's
we'll see what happens. But, man, I love you guys. It's always good to talk with you. And and get on here and get passionate about reptiles, because I never get a chance to do that anymore, except for with Kyogen. Like, Tom Kyogen's the only guy I call and curse at about stuff like this.
You curse at me anytime you want, bro. Hey, don't worry. Hey, listen, we're almost out of time. Derek, you want to say goodbye?
Yes, thank you, and definitely, man, rock on. Happy herping to everyone, and reach out. We should have a good season. Anybody's looking for bulkheads or carpets, hit me up.
Sweet, man. Hey, post some of that cool stuff on the boards, man. We want to get you back on there a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, man. I've just been so busy, but yeah, I'll get on there.
All right. Peace, guys. Have a great day. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right, man. See you, brother. Bye.